everyone. Welcome to the Well It Depends podcast. I'm your host, Derek Doyle, and this is Andrew Barron. This episode is being recorded on February 27th, 2026. And in today's episode, we're going to be diving into the AI story, not only how it's affecting the overall stock market, but also the advisory space and other industries.
The information in this episode is current as of the date recorded and is not intended as financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult your tax, financial, and/or legal advisors before implementing any transactions and/or strategies concerning your finances.
So, just a quick background of why we're talking about this. The markets, as of late, within the last month, and even if you look back 6 months, the software sector has taken a real beating. We're seeing a lot of big name companies like Adobe, Salesforce, be in 40% drawdowns over the last 6 months. And a lot of this anxiety is around one big question: is AI coming for your company, and is AI coming for your job? So today we're going to be talking about what are some real limitations that we see in AI in the financial space, but also why it is nice to have still that human-to-human connection when it comes to your personal finances. So I figure where we could start this conversation is just discussing the overall current market sell-off and what are kind of our thoughts and opinions on it, Andrew. Just to give a quick recap to add on to what I mentioned earlier, you know, Adobe, Salesforce, CrowdStrike, just to name a few. And then if you look at the overall expanded software tech sector, we're in a 20% drawdown. And I think the market right now is trying to determine, is AI a true disruptor to these companies? And is it really going to replace meaningful jobs and cause kind of a workforce layoff that could impact the overall arching economy? I guess the question we have to ask ourselves is all of this kind of overblown, or do you see potential real fears for some of these industries that are kind of being affected in the short term right now?
Well, right. My last opinion is does seem to be a reaction to a narrative more than fundamentals. And while we have seen CEOs announce layoffs that are due to AI, it's not really been shown, especially to investors who are funding this whole AI build out, that the profits can even be seen. There's an underlying assumption that you're going to replace six-figure workers with automation and there will be a cost savings there.
I guess the overall question that I'm trying to ask, Andrew, is do you see a lot of this activity that's happening in the stock market currently as possibly anxiety and fear rather than truly fundamentals of why Salesforce and Adobe are down, call it 30 to 40% over the last 6 months?
I think a lot of the excitement for investors is that AI can do something similar to what these companies do, but there's a huge discount on the security of things, especially like a Salesforce, that you're entering confidential, both business proprietary information, mm-hmm. but client proprietary information as well. And just uploading that into what you would hope is a secure system in AI, that really may not be true since there are many, many other clients that and we know that they train their models on such data. So that would almost automatically be a compliance nightmare for, especially a big company or a company like ours, a financial company.
Yeah.
On the other side, I think it's hard to assume that there's going to be full one-to-one carbon copies, which is what the market's pricing in, that you can just spin out an Adobe clone by using AI. And while it may have some features, I think especially people that truly use the software are going to say that the more complicated and nuanced things are going to not be there.
Yeah, and I would even double down and agree on what you're saying. We've tend to see over the last 2 years, the market overreact to both the good and the bad side of things. If you look at how Oracle last summer had that huge earnings report where they announced that they had a large bid from OpenAI and their stock surged, call it 30% in a week, that was an overreaction to the good side. And stock markets tend to do that. I think this is a classic case of an overreaction, but just to the downside. Markets do, in the short term, tend to overreact to both good and bad news. Google, the narrative can change very quickly for a lot of these names, where The narrative right now is if you're a software company, regardless of what that software is, it is kind of a you are guilty until proven innocent moment, where if you're a software name, you're just being attached to this narrative that you're going to be obsolete in 5 to 10 years. And you saw Google rewrite their narrative where they were kind of a dog in the race and then ended up the year being one of the best performing Mag 7 names. So I think narratives can change very quickly on Wall Street. And we've seen many classic cases of that happen over the last couple of years.
A lot of the software service earnings were very positive. So these companies are still growing. And if AI was truly disrupting and stealing business from them, we would see that in the earnings reports.
Yeah. So the segue that after we discussed how the overall market's reacting right now is specifically in our industry. Before AI, we both were aware of, more so you than me, but the idea of robo-advising, where you had automated investing that already has existed in the industry. You had companies like Wealthfront and Betterment that basically were just only robo-advisors, and it was fully automated. Explain to the audience how this really isn't a new theme in the financial services industry, this whole idea of having a robo-advisor that kind of constructs a portfolio for you.
I mean, they're almost really just glorified fund of funds or target date funds, if you will. Since they go through a risk allocation, have pre-allocated choices that they shove you into, and either with a lump sum of money or ongoing contributions, they just fund you into things. I have seen they do tax loss harvesting. So if you have some losers in a portfolio, perhaps towards the end of the year, you will sell those to help offset some of the gains you may have taken in other holdings. But other than that, it's not truly smart and intelligent. And if your only focus is simply growing assets, so let's say you're 22, 23 years old and you're just starting out and you're 30, 40 years from retirement, that's your only goal is growth, growth, growth. It might be a fine opportunity to use those things. But as we know in our practice, the over a lifestyle or over a lifetime, rather, you're going to have questions come up. Life's going to throw you curveballs that are going to be hard to adjust for if all you're doing is growth, because you might need to take withdrawals, you might get sick and need help along the way. So that's where having an advisor who, which is kind of the key thing, is knows you and learns what you're actually prioritizing is key to this.
Yeah. And you were kind of hinting at the next point that I was going to kind of address, is that it's very common in this industry to group us all together as one body, where when you really look at it, there is a fundamental difference between a money manager and a financial planner. And I think the industry and where we are in 2026, that the overall investing community has realized that there is this base level entry cost to managing a portfolio, whether that be 0.2 basis points or 0.3 basis points for index passive investing. There is this base level cheap cost for entry level. But like you said, that mostly skews towards your younger investors and maybe the people who are more on the accumulation side of their journey. Whereas financial advice, both you and me know that it's way more than just picking the right ETF. It's really about, I'm buying a home. What are some tax strategies that I could do to make this efficient? I need planning for retirement needs and spending. There's more that goes into financial planning than just picking and constructing an overall portfolio. And I think that is sometimes we get grouped into sort of an industry that doesn't do exactly quite the needs that we service.
One of the big things that makes our job both interesting and challenging is that sometimes what people are prioritizing is irrational. And I think an algorithm or AI, if you want to call it that, is going to struggle serving that aspect of humans, where with experience and having dozens of clients, it's easier for an advisor to actually serve that and adjust for those questions and walking through those paths.
Yeah. And one of the things that you've said to me multiple times in this profession is that the accumulation side of things is relatively easy. There's not a lot of things you could do to really mess up sometimes that phase.
Save consistently.
Yes. But the decumulation phase, when you're spending these assets down, there are a lot of things and complex questions that do arise. And there are areas where if you don't quite know, you know, what might be the most efficient or tax planning strategy for that specific goal, you could run into some bumps along the road where it does help to have an advisor in your back pocket to ask these questions when you are spending down your assets. So,
or especially just as we age and cognition declines, do you want someone who's worked with you for perhaps decades continuing that process that you've maybe very well established, or an algorithm that does some kind of rule of thumb to make decisions for you?
Yeah. So that kind of leads into our next kind of topic that we want to address, is the state of AI now in the financial service industry and just professions across the board. I think a topic that's not talked about enough, and I had jokingly mentioned it to you this week, is can you trust AI, not only from just a, you know, basic, let me ask it a question, it shoots out an answer, but AI liability, meaning if you take advice from a large language model, there is a lot of gray area there where it's like they're not, the chatbot's not legally liable if something goes wrong. Whereas in this profession, both you and I know the legality behind it, where we are fiduciary responsible to our clients. And if something does go wrong, whether we like it or not, we're often the ones that gets the fingers pointed at us. I don't think it's talked enough about in the industry that there is no like liability yet built in legally to any of the advice that you might receive from some of these algorithms that spit out advice to you. I just want to get your thoughts on someone who's out there still taking advice from maybe ChatGPT or any of those other AI searches out there to really think about that part of the conversation.
What will be interesting to see is, since most of this technology was invented post a major recession, how does this advice handle in the down market, where advisors, especially, you know, established people who've been through the ups and downs, you know, the 01s, 08s, etc. That's where, once again, the human experience is going to, I think, serve better than when we go through a recession one day where these models aren't familiar with it and may not see or know how to handle the things that are going on.
Yeah. And another point, and because I did a presentation on this last year for our company, and I think a point that often also is not talked about enough is, yes, if you know, have a financial background and you understand the definition and terms, you can get, you know, whether it's OpenAI's ChatGPT or Claude, you can get it to spit out some pretty accurate advice if you know how to ask it the right questions. But I always like to say, a lot of you and my jobs come down to, yes, we not only give you a plan, but we actually also do the work and we implement it for you. AI is not going and logging into your Charles Schwab brokerage account and doing trades for you automatically. AI is not doing tax planning software and doing a Roth conversion for you. Yes, it might know these terms, and yes, it might know how to accurately portray them and illustrate it to you, but it's not doing the work for you, whereas your advisor is going in and doing the plan that they brought up to you. We're actually implementing the advice, and I think that's a key thing, because I still don't think a lot of people have the confidence to implement advice either, whether it's right or wrong.
And that was it, the human element comes to play with that, where I think natural procrastination, especially if you aren't familiar with it, plays into that exactly, where even if the chatbot spit out 100% right advice, do you act on it or do you kick it the can down, let's say 6 months, where it may be stale dated and you need an update? And if you don't know to do a refresh, you may not even implement the right plan for you.
Yeah. And that kind of leads to our next topic of, where do we both, in our opinion, see the future of AI and advising? Do we see a combination? Do we see certain parts of our industry being completely taken over? Is there this happy middle ground where we fuse AI technology with human insights? I think the main question still is with this is, what do clients want? And I still think, and you've addressed this multiple times in this podcast, clients still want that human-to-human connection when we're dealing with $1 million plus, or for some people, their life savings. They still want a human at the wheel when it comes to a very personal matter like your life savings.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that people just want the handholding and experience that just seems to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And it's, as we move more and more towards a digital world, I think there's actually a premium on human connection and understanding someone at a deep level rather than spitting out generic advice, which is ultimately what a lot of those do.
I do think if you want to go specifically into our profession, that this AI wave could really affect the transactional advisor, whereas the relationship advisor, the person who's actually sitting there doing the planning, building the family connection and the relationship with the client, I don't see that going away, because I do think that's, I don't think we're anywhere close to anyone having a real relationship with a robot yet. So the human-to-human part is still valuable. The transactional advisor, whereas you're not, you come in, someone gives you, spits out an hour-long plan in an algorithm, and then you walk out the door and you always say that that plan is worthless now because things can change tomorrow. So no plan is ever 100% accurate at all times. Another analogy I like to use is, you know, we see automation rampant in the fast food industry. But just because we have been able to automate a certain segmentation of the restaurant industry, that doesn't mean that the demand for your local diner or the 3-star Michelin restaurants have gone down. If anything, you can make the case that demand has only gone up for a lot of those high class segments. So just because automation can take a certain part of your industry, I don't think that necessarily correlates to the more specific premium version of that industry. And that's really what we are. We're trying to sell a premium service for a specific clientele.
I mean, AI, I think, could serve like financial models, but statistical modeling has been around for decades. And maybe it makes a little bit easier to use for people that are less mathematically inclined. But I think, it's going to be a parallel, if anything, add to what people are already doing rather than actually replacing and replicating jobs.
Yeah. So I think overall we addressed most of the main concerns that we see, at least specifically in our industry. And with what's going on in the market, I think this is a classic overreaction to some news headlines that seem bad on the surface, but fundamentally, and when you peel back the curtain, is AI really a disruptor currently as we see it right now? I don't believe so. We always joke around where we will believe it once the call centers we have to call for some of our clients start getting better. Maybe that's when we'll start be like true believers. But as of right now, it seems like a very strong, firm overreaction just to the negatives. But I think overall that's most of what we wanted to discuss today. Anything you'd like to add, Andrew, before we call this episode?
I mean, once again, I'm going to be a little biased with this, but I do strongly believe that having a human advisor that you build a relationship with is here to stay for a long, long time. I continue to see even younger generations be attracted towards that model. They aren't, even people that might think are digitally native, they aren't steering that way. They are still looking for a human.
Yep. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Wealth Depends podcast. I'm your host, Derek Doyle.
And I'm Andrew Barron.
And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for watching. If you found this video helpful, give it a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss future updates. Looking for more insights like this? Head over to our website at jgua.com for additional resources. And if you'd like to talk about your personal financial goals, we'd love to help. Just click the Schedule a Meeting button highlighted on your screen to book your complimentary consultation. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you in the next video.